What stories would young people in lockup tell if they were given the chance? A new exhibit at the Contemporary Arts Center puts the perspective of young people in Hamilton County Youth Detention on the walls. Voices Unheard, Art, Identity, and Experience is a collaboration of the CAC and Hamilton County Juvenile Court. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me to discuss the exhibit and the experiences of young people in detention are Hamilton County Juvenile Court Judge Carrie Bloom. Welcome back, Judge Bloom.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you, Lucy.
Great to see you, and Cincinnati Public Schools art teacher, Penny Harris. Thanks for being here, Penny.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you both. Penny, what kind of artwork does this exhibit include, and how many students are represented?
Well, we represented everybody in the Juvenile Detention Center that has come to us in the last 3 to 4 months, and also the newbies that have just got entered into the Juvenile Detention Center. But it entails photography, written word, spoken word with the music teacher, and music that the kids have created, and then also poetry.
Wow.
So there's a lot of stuff that is combined into this art exhibit.
So did I read that's like more than 90 students or something who are
yes.
represented?
Oh, at least 90.
Yeah, yeah. How did this exhibition come about, Penny?
Well, I got the idea from masterclass with JR, the artist, and he did something similar in the Tehachapi prison. So I got this idea, and then we kind of just snowballed with all the other teachers talking about it with the teachers, and they wanted to be involved, and then they wanted written word with the kids being involved. So it's a big collaboration with us, all of us.
Yeah. Why do you think it's so important to give these young people a voice in this platform?
I think that the kids get a lot of negativity, you know, considering the circumstance, but the kids, we really don't understand where these kids are coming from. And it's very, you know, eye-opening to see some of the stories that they've written.
Yeah. Judge Bloom, talk to us about that. Where are these kids coming from? What's the overall population in youth detention? Mm-hmm. What are some of the reasons they're there?
So I'll start first with the last question, the reasons they're there. And as you know, the law, both state law and federal law, tells us as judges and magistrates to hold kids as a last resort. We're supposed to place them other places if we can. But for kids who are charged with shootings, or worse, physical violence in other ways that are felonies, or worse. And then, of course, we always have kids who don't have any other place to go, even though they might not even be charged with a crime. So we have a really wide variety of types of kids. But what I think is interesting and what I would encourage everyone to go and see is that the art exhibit shows us that they all have something in common. And the thing they have in common is this thread in their background of my word is hopelessness, or a type of thinking that is based in survival. And it is based in neighborhoods that they come from, the way that their families have experienced the world. And oftentimes, because they are kids, those situations are no fault of their own. And so they are circumstances that they've been dealing with that they are in some way able to put in very moving and beautiful words. And it just really can help all of us understand what is different about a kid that comes to the detention center that gets charged with a crime than is maybe the experience we had growing up.
Can you, I want to back up just a minute. You said that some kids are there mm-hmm. because they have no place else to go, even though they aren't charged with a crime. I guess I don't understand that. I had no idea. What do you mean by that?
Well, it is in Ohio, if a child is what we would call truly abandoned, or their parent refuses to come and get them, or maybe they're even in the custody of Jobs and Family Services, but there is no safe placement for them, the detention center becomes the safety net, becomes the what we would call the safe place to keep them.
Rather than a foster care placement or group home or something like that?
Right. All of those decisions are made by JFS, the agency. And so we at the detention center become the place that is sort of holding these kids, but also caring for them, but also educating them because we make them go to school no matter how long you're with us, and integrating them into our population, which can be great, but also, you know, for social reasons, but also then exposes these children to other kids who have been charged with committing some very serious crimes. And so it's a population that we try not to have, but we almost always have at least one or two kids. One's in there right now. I just saw him this morning on my docket. So it's something that we shouldn't have to do, but we do.
Wow. Well, Judge Bloom, I think I understand that this exhibition is featuring Cincinnati Public Schools students.
Not all of them are okay. from Cincinnati Public Schools. It's the entire county of Hamilton County.
Okay. Gotcha.
So we get kids from all over Hamilton County.
Okay. But you're a CPS teacher and
yes,
you're teaching all of
us all are
of
CPS
those.
Teachers.
I see. Okay. Well, so, Judge Bloom, is there a relationship between the juvenile court and Cincinnati Public Schools to kind of make sure that that education's happening? Talk to us about that.
Absolutely. And it's probably one of my favorite relationships that we have in our community. We have a lot of great partners, but inside of 2020, we have a satellite CPS school. We have an entire staff of CPS teachers, assistants, there's a principal, there's a social worker,
an intervention specialist.
You have all the same education rights that you have if you are not in detention. And making sure that education is received and that it's quality education is my responsibility as the administrative judge of the court. And so for the last, I would say, 3 years maybe now, the school has been, when we say the school, to mean the school inside 2020, has
yes.
been just a really amazing developing place where we've been graduating kids. We have graduation ceremonies. We have one tomorrow where we've been helping kids get caught up on their credits, where they've been learning about themselves, learning about music or writing. Some of them, a lot of them, learning how to read for mm-hmm. the first time. And so the way that we approach it is that we have some really fabulous Cincinnati Public teachers, you're meeting one of them today, mm-hmm. Who are all willing and do collaborate for the best outcome for each of the kids who comes through. Mm-hmm. And that's separate from and in no way connected to the reason that they're there.
We're talking about an exhibit at the Contemporary Arts Center called Voices Unheard that spotlights the work of students in youth detention. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So Penny or Judge Bloom, can you walk us through kind of the overall conditions that the young people in 2020, how they live, what their mm-hmm. day-to-day is like. I don't mm-hmm. know which of you would like to do that.
So I'll start and then you can tell okay. them about school. So the day-to-day is that inside 2020, which you wouldn't know unless you've been in there, it does look like a jail. It's cinder block walls. The doors, every door locks and you're only permitted to walk through it when it's unlocked by a control tower person. In the living quarters or pods, there are individual rooms that look similar to a jail cell. And then there are plastic chairs in sort of the room they can congregate in certain times. And everything else is accounted for. And I say that to mean if there was a book that someone wanted to check out from the library, Cincinnati Public Library has an installation inside 2020. If they wanted to check that book out, it gets checked out to an individual kid. And all of that is recorded so that we know where everything's moving throughout the center. And so they have a time that it's lights out. They have a time that it's lights on. They have a time that they go to each of their classes. They have a time that they eat. It's all similar to the way you would think of a traditional incarceration location, except for what they're provided when they're there, which I'll let Penny talk about.
Yes. Well, as a teacher, I say this is teacher paradise because the kids come to school well-rested, fed, three meals a day. They get up. They're always on time for school. They're never sleeping in class, but they go through a regular school day. We have 12 teachers and two intervention specialists. The kids go to art, gym, music, regular science class, social studies, English, and math. So we have a really good team, and the kids often ask the teachers if they can stay late or come back on Saturdays because they enjoy school so much in there, which is not typical in a traditional school.
Right, right. We'll talk, Penny, more about their classes in art and writing and music. How important is it for these young people especially to really be able to express themselves?
Well, I tell everybody that my classroom is ran more like an art therapy class. You know, music playing in the background, calming music. The kids are working on projects. The kids need that in that facility. They need that time to work on things like that. And we typically say that the kids are better during the school day when we keep them busy. So keeping them busy in our classrooms helps the day go by smoother.
Yeah. In some ways, Penny, is this exhibition also a celebration of the teachers like you who work with these students, the time and heart that you all devote to these young people every day and the work that you all have put into making this exhibit happen?
Well, of all of us teachers involved, we would say no, because we do not want the attention for ourselves. We want it for the kids. It's all about the kids. The kids never have experienced this. Never. I mean, I've been teaching 30 years and I've never had an exhibit at the Contemporary Arts Center. But now we have a timed in slot for every year because of the relationship we formed with them. Yeah. So, but as the teachers, to celebrate the teachers, I mean, we enjoy the celebration, but we would rather it be on the kids.
Mm. Well, listening to what some of these students say.
A typical day here feels like everything is coming down on me at once. I'm learning to let go of my past edges and replace them with positive actions. I'm not just my mistakes, I'm growing mentally, and I wish people could see that.
When I get up, I want to become a better role model for my two younger brothers. I want to put a smile on my mother's face.
I wish people understood that my mistakes do not define who I am.
When I get out, I want to make changes for the better.
Judge Bloom, for the young people who are there because they've been accused of, very serious crime, how do these classes figure into their rehabilitation?
Mm-hmm. So the rehabilitation effort for the kids that come to 2020 begins the day they walk in the door. While it is connected to their charge, because that's the reason that they're brought to us by law enforcement, their rehabilitation becomes a separate effort because they are all pre-trial while they're there. So legally, they are all presumed innocent, like the law and the Constitution requires us to do. And so the rehabilitation efforts of help us, I say that to say, mm-hmm. the staff says, help us find out who you are and help us work towards the improvement and sort of the reconciliation of the circumstances that brought you here while you're here with us. It is absolutely untenable to me that we would hold children as long as we do, which we need to, and not address the needs or the root causes of the reason that they're there. That's both for their improvement, their rehabilitation, but also community safety. Every one of these kids is getting out. We don't have life sentences for kids. And so they will reenter society. They will reenter our community. And it is our job at the court to make sure that they do that in a safe and healthy and productive way. What we know and what we talk about all the time in society is that education is the key to success. Well, we can't ignore what we say just because somebody is locked up. So we start with school. Number one, very first day you come to us, you're going to school.
Yeah. Do you think sometimes, Judge Bloom, there are needs being addressed in 2020 that weren't addressed previously. I mean, you talked about some of these kids not knowing how to read.
Mm-hmm. I think that the gravity of the needs that are addressed for each kid is a different spectrum, but every child that comes to us has unmet needs. Every child that comes to us might not be able to articulate them, and it might take some time for us to figure them out, but that's also part of our job. A lot of the needs that we see and that kids are willing to share with us are based in homelessness, are based in, like you said, illiteracy. And maybe that's because they haven't been going to school, because they've been working a job to help keep their family afloat. A lot of it that we see, and I don't want to speak for Penny, but is also learning disabilities that have never been identified or addressed. We see kids that feel safe sometimes for the first time in a while when they're in a cell on a pod. And it is a lot of heartbreak and a lot of heartbreak. And what I would say is that I know the teachers don't want to take, accolades for what they've done, but of course they should, and they deserve them, and I would give them to them. But also, this project brings those needs and the history of those kids out into the public for everyone to see. Mm-hmm. And they're undeniable how articulate they are about what has changed about them since they've been inside.
Yeah. Well, and Penny, you started off by saying, you know, this is kind of a teacher's paradise because those kids are happy to be there and they're well-rested and they're yes. fed, and that's not something every
that
teacher
you typically
gets.
See. And, I mean, I left the classroom to come to the Juvenile Detention Center 7 years ago. My classroom size when I left was 52 kids in my classroom by myself.
And how? What's your classroom size now?
10.
Wow.
It's fabulous because they get more one-on-one attention, and the kids don't feel intimidated when they can't read because there's less kids in there and they're all working together.
Yeah. Well, Penny, how do you think these classes help these young people in the way they see themselves and see their futures? I'm thinking specifically of your art class. I mean, what's the self-discovery process there?
I think a lot of them don't realize the stuff they have within them. You know what I mean? They come to my class and they're shocked that they're actually producing something that's worthy of an art show, or, you know, they're going to English class and they're writing something that's very powerful that they never knew they could do. Like Judge Bloom said, we have kids that come in and I ask the kids, what's the last school you went to? And he goes, I don't go to school. Hmm. He hasn't been to school in 3 years.
Wow.
We can't find any kind of school. So we're starting them as soon as they walk in, trying to find out what their needs are yeah. and focusing on those.
Does the art ever become therapeutic, Penny? Because I listening
100%.
To some of those. Yeah, because some of them have experienced tremendous loss.
Trauma.
Yeah.
We've had kids in there that have lost family members as they're in the facility. We do have intervention specialists, is what the courts call them, but they're basically like a counselor mm-hmm. for the kids that they can call to ask for intervention specialists to speak to an intervention specialist. We have a great social worker in there that talks to – I can text her and she comes right into my room if a kid's having an issue coming back from court or any kind of thing like that.
Yeah.
But typically in the school, we don't have any problems with mm-hmm. stuff like that because the teachers are very into, you know, finding the root causes.
Yeah. Judge Bloom, for these young people, once they've left 2020 for whatever reason and they reenter society, if they're still of school age, mm-hmm. what's the problem? I mean, is there a way to make sure they're going to school on the outside that mm-hmm. to try to reduce that recidivism rate? What mm-hmm. are the services that come afterwards?
That is an excellent point. And one of the ways that Cincinnati Public has really, really stepped up in the last, I would say, 2 years even, mm-hmm. is through the principal that they've put at the detention center and how invested he is in the continuation of education and the successful graduation of every student. He personally checks on them. He reports back as to how they're doing. But on aside from that is our probation department is responsible for getting a child signed up in their home school districts, for getting the records, for transferring those, for helping parents sign their kids up. Ultimately, a kid goes home and lives with their family or their parent, and that becomes that person's responsibility, but the court is there as backup to provide access to records and sort of to sift through sometimes the superfluous parts of getting signed up for school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of
red tape. We've also had seven kids go on to prison, and they've graduated from our facility. And as soon as they go to prison, they enroll in college classes. Mm-hmm. So we do follow up with them when they move on to other places.
Yeah. Well, just very quickly, Penny, when people look at this artwork, what do you hope they see?
I hope they see that the kids keep getting a negative vibe here in the city lately with the crime, but that they're just kids and that they come from someplace that most of us would not survive.
Yeah. Well, this exhibition, Voices Unheard, Art, Identity, and Experience, is on view at the Contemporary Arts Center through May 31st. I've been talking with Hamilton County Juvenile Court Judge Carrie Bloom and Cincinnati Public Schools art teacher Penny Harris. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks,
Lucy. Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.